Hey, what's happening? My name is Eddie Wall, and welcome to Eddie's Wall. This is the premiere episode of the season, and we have a guest here, Mikey LeBlanc. Mikey, how are you?
Good. Good to see you.
So, Mikey, first off, give us some of your background and, you know, where you're from and your beginnings in snowboarding.
Sure, yeah. I grew up in Maine. Got into snowboarding because of skateboarding, like most people. First snowboard run was in 1981 on a hill by my house in Maine, and bought my first snowboard in 84.
Okay.
Burton Elite 140.
140?
I still have it.
How old were you?
I think that would make me 11.
11, okay. Yeah. So 140 was like pretty good size.
Yeah.
So we were talking yesterday a little bit. What is, you know, you were saying that you were kind of starting snowboarding from the beginning. Back when it wasn't this big, massive sport, and it was actually not even allowed at some of the resorts near you?
Yeah. When I started, no resorts allowed snowboarding in Maine, and then I think in 86, Sugarloaf opened one run under the chairlift. So we went up, but we used to just, didn't matter, we'd go to the golf course or the hill by our house or whatever and just build jumps. But it was pretty crazy when we first started going to the mountain. It was just brave new world for sure.
Okay. We are actually already have a couple questions coming in. Cool. Let's see. Ethan Callahan, what's your favorite resort to shred?
My favorite resort is Brighton. Definitely Brighton, Utah.
Okay.
Best mountain. I mean, it's just fun. You got a bunch of little short hikes for powder. Really good park if you're into that. And then, ton of little good cliffs to get out and have fun with, and the vibe is super cool there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, you know, I feel like we've already got the questions pouring in.
That's
so,
cool.
I mean, we have a bunch of stuff we want to talk about, but I say we just get into some of these questions because,
sure. Keep them coming.
Let's see here. Mikey, where did your hair go though? That's Rodrigo Muerte.
Thanks, Rodrigo. I like your last name.
Muerte. You shaved it.
Yeah, I mean, this is how it goes. This is just the easiest way to wake up in the morning and not think about even look. I don't even know if I've looked in the mirror in a week.
I like it. So. And then also, we kind of talked about this before a little bit, but Stephen Eng, or E-N-G, Stephen Eng, what got you into snowboarding?
Skateboarding. So I was skateboarding. Thrasher magazine used to do something in the back called Cold Snap. It was this rad little article. And I was like, wow, because we were skating, it was freezing in Maine snow, and there was this photo of, I don't remember who it was, might have been even Steve Caballero, snowboarding, and it was like, wow, there it is, right there.
Yeah.
So we all basically took old skateboards, took the trucks and the wheels off, flipped them around backwards, and were trying to snowboard down the hill with those in the winter. And then from there, we discovered that snowboards were affordable if you had a paper route.
Right, yeah. let's see here. Garrett Joseph comments, Mikey, when you ollied that giant double set in Big Bear, the double set that we posted this morning at the Big Bear High School, massive double set. He said, did your legs or feet hurt afterward, and were you wearing a mouthpiece?
I didn't have a real mouth guard, but I put a piece of cloth in my teeth. Wow. And whenever I did big ollies, I would do that because, I mean, number one, concussions are a serious thing, but also I've broken so many teeth ollieing stuff, so I just did that. And then the next day, I think I hurt more from the hangover because we partied hard that night. It was fun. So I don't remember if my legs hurt.
Right, perfect.
My back probably hurt.
Yeah. Let's see. J. Michael Gordner. What deck do you ride? I'm guessing now. Like what board?
These days, I have a bunch of friends that have snowboard companies. So honestly, whatever I get for free. Right now in my quiver, I'm riding a Powder Jet, which is an all wooden snowboard. I ride a US Shapes. It's my homie Gray's brand from Tahoe. I have an IP Project board, which is a park board from the Midwest, and a Jones powder board for deep pow days. So.
Would you say you're one of these guys, because now it's pretty trendy to kind of have a quiver?
Yeah, I think it's really important to have a quiver. I mean, if you can afford it or whatever, like, there's no doubt that there's an ATV board, if you can only afford one board, that you could ride anywhere.
Yeah.
But if you're really, I mean, the powder boards make a huge difference. The park boards make their own difference. So yeah, it's like, it's everything. Like when I'm riding an aggressive like ATV snowboard in powder, I ride and I'm looking to jump off everything.
Yeah.
But if I'm on that powder, like the Jones Storm Chaser, I'm just cruising. I don't even care about jumping off anything.
Right.
It just changes the way you see the mountain, and it's rad for sure.
Awesome.
It's really rad.
Let's see. I don't really know what this is about, but Timmy Like a Boss says, were there any repercussions from the G-Wagon coffee mug incident?
I have no idea what he's talking about. Can you,
Timmy Like a Boss.
Timmy, can you tell us more of what you're thinking?
You might need to, reevaluate or give us more information on that question.
Yeah, I don't know.
G-Wagon coffee cup. I don't know. Evan, let's see. Do you still get super angry when you don't land a trick? I know with some of your intros, you had the classic freak out intros.
Yeah, I mean, no, because I don't really film anymore.
Right.
I mean, that was pretty much all about, like, almost dying.
Yeah.
And then being like, fuck, I gotta do this again.
Right. That's why you would flip out?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
I was like, no.
Yeah.
But no, I don't film anymore, so I pretty much just laugh a lot.
All right, let's see. Okay, Ian Cope or Ian Cope, who are your favorite photographers to shoot with? That's a good question.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, the guys that I shot with most were Andy Wright, who's staff Trans World. The reason why I love shooting with Andy is we'd have great times on trips. We're about the same age. We both love beers. And he's just a homie. Like, we've known each other. He missed one photo of me, and we shot hundreds of times. And he just asked me to do it again.
And that's when you fired him.
That's when I fired. That's when I quit. So don't worry. But him, I loved shooting with Eastone.
Yeah.
He is just hilarious. We go on road trips and we just laugh so much. Bob Plum, same thing. They're both epic. All those dudes are epic, and they're just real.
I remember one thing I thought was cool about with Andy Wright that I had never had happen before was like he would set up two different cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's like a.
That's a top secret.
I don't know if that's like a secret or something, but yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Andy was like, he's the guy that like basically gets the most epic photo. He's not the most artistic of photographers, but the guys that are getting artsy-fartsy often miss the real aggression of a shot.
Yeah.
Andy's focus has always been like,
the riding.
Get the gnarliest riding photo you can possibly get, and that's what I often wanted to do because I wasn't trying to be the guy who was getting the method shot. I was trying to do something gnarly, and that's why I think I shot with Andy the most.
Yeah. So. Speaking of like kind of getting gnarly and you know trying tricks that are super scary, what are maybe a few of your career highlights?
Like definitely the ollie at Big Bear.
Yep.
Little unknown, probably less known. There's a shot in one of the Kingpin movies of a cliff. It's right next to the Ruffinator, if you're bright and local, but it's basically an air off a cliff where you air down into a chute and land on this pillow, and I had to try it three times that season.
Whoa.
It's like you land on a pillow and you're going way down, and you have to, actually it's like kind of a cornice, and the cornice breaks off after, so it follows you down. So that's one of my favorite shots ever, too. And
do you know what movie that was in?
I think it's, Chad Otterstrom would know what it's in, but I think it's in King Chronicles, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's just touch on a little bit about like you were, you know, speaking of your big ollie. I remember like one of the first ones for me that stood out when you did that was the one, I think it was in the Brighton parking lot.
Brighton, yeah.
And was that Brainstorm or?
That was Brainstorm.
I mean, had you done some before that? That one's the one that really was like.
No, I mean that was what's funny is I was talking about it because I lived with JP and Jeremy, JP Walker, Jeremy Jones at the time, and I was talking about it because we would go to the rail gardens and I would ollie the little sets and never film it. And I remember talking to Whitey and I'm like, hey, I want to do a big ollie here, and I don't know, no one was really doing it. So it was just sort of an experiment, but yeah, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious and people were stoked on it. So
cool.
And I was watching skateboarding. I mean, Jamie Thomas at the time, huge influence, probably. Yeah. You know, I probably watched, when I was really a pro shredder, I never watched snowboard movies. I only watched skateboard movies for inspiration.
Yeah.
And I would watch Jamie Thomas's part in the Zero movies.
Yeah.
And he was my number one influence for sure for that kind of stuff.
Perfect. Okay, let's see. Get back to the comment boards. Oh, by the way, if you are just tuning in, this is the first episode of Eddie's Wall. My name is Eddie Wall. This is my guest, Mikey LeBlanc, snowboard icon, if you will. We are live, so if you have any questions, get on the comment board and start writing in, because that's what we want. You know, that's why we're doing this live, so that you guys can talk to Mikey. He's reading some comments here.
There's some cool ones in here.
All right, let's just run down through some of these. Ethan Callahan, good question. What video part would you say you put your hardest work into?
Definitely one of the Whitey movies. Yeah. Because I had a couple video parts with two songs.
Okay.
But so I had like a 1 year with Whitey where I remember in the beginning of the year. And this was motivational. We were watching all the raw footage because everybody, all the old videos in my time were shot on film. So I remember watching the raw footage with Whitey. He's like, Scotty Whitlake's getting last part. And this is like January. And I'm like, fuck, no, he's getting last part. So I went out and shot two videos, like songs full of shit. And I think it was my favorite part, too. So
was that?
Was the one with the Flogging Molly?
Yeah, yeah. That was insane.
And we got to shoot with the. You know, in Boston, Whitey did all these cool skits. So that was the other fun part about Whitey movies is like the snowboarding was sick, but he created this personality.
Yeah.
And so Whitey was just fun to travel around with.
And you always, you know, I think maybe a lot of people watching could relate is like you always had really funny like characters that you would do, whether it was the cop or, you know, like, I don't know, just all these weird little skits and stuff. Did those just kind of come out naturally or?
Yeah, I mean, you just ride around in a car with people and go insane on a road trip, and then just, have fun. I mean, definitely we always had good crews and people that would just, like, joke around, so when the camera's rolling, just don't stop having a good time.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I think it's important for a video part, too. Like, I think, honestly, when I get asked, like, people are like, you know, hey, you're Mike LeBlanc from snowboarding. But yeah, they're like, the thing they remember is the funny shit.
Yeah.
They don't care about snowboarding. I mean, they remember laughing about this or that. I think it's really important to do that in your video parts, too.
So. Yeah, absolutely. You're like, oh, great, they remember me for being the funny cop, but not for ollieing, like, 50 cool. steps.
I don't care.
So Garrett Joseph, someone watching right now, who's your favorite snowboarder? And I want to break this into two. Who is your favorite snowboarder growing up, like looking up to? And then now, currently, like who are some guys that you really enjoy watching?
Well, I mean, it's hard to break it down to one guy from the past. I think I have like a list of five, maybe three. Definitely Terrier. Terrier Hawkinson is best snowboarder of all time. Amazing inspiration. Ingmar Bachmann was one of my favorites of all time, just style and amazing. And then Noah Selaznik, too.
Okay.
Noah was a huge influence for skate and snow, and brought in that kind of new school.
Yep.
But he has, like, the best backside seven tail grab ever in a TB movie. But also, I'd like to plug, Noah has cancer, so I think they'll post it on the Transworld page, but he's got a GoFundMe right now, so if you can spare, like, $1 or 20 or 100 or 1,000... Send him some money, help him heal up.
Yeah, cool. And that is on the Transworld site.
Cool.
So if you go to the Transworld site, just scroll down, look for the Noah Selaznik article, GoFundMe campaign.
That'd be cool.
Definitely.
For sure.
I mean, anything helps. $5, whatever.
Yeah, but he was epic, man. Like, amazing. And, And then also, I think it's important to mention the filmmakers, too, because there was a few, like MacDog and the Hatchet crew.
Yeah.
Those movies were so vital to snowboarding being rad. So much, much thanks to those dudes too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean Dogger and the Hatchet.
Oh, and then current favorite snowboarder.
Yeah.
Shit, that's tough. Definitely. Really hard to say. I mean, I loved in the. It's kind of broken into parts now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as handrails, I don't think anybody's better than Jed Anderson.
Okay.
He's amazing. And then I think in the mountains, I really love a bunch of dudes, but I love the mix of Giggy, Nico, and Freddy.
Yep.
And I think, you know, between those three,
it's
hard to pick who my favorite is.
Yeah.
But Freddy, Clobber Mountain, Giggy, Roof, and Nicholas are
all
very special. I like the way they view the mountain. It looks like they just drop in and just go crazy and
And they make it look so easy,
stylish.
Oh, that's but yeah, that is one thing too, because I remember, you know, seeing some of Nicholas's first stuff, and he would just like pop off these pillows, and we were jumping down handrails and all that, and I was like, man, like, you know, that's pretty easy. Like, we could go out and hit little pillows and do a back seven or whatever, and then you'd go out and you'd try to, you'd find those little zones and you'd go try to do it, and it just looks so bad, or like you couldn't do it at all, or you just get a shot and you're like, sick, I'm gonna look like Nicholas Mueller, and then you see the footage and you're like, oh, this is embarrassing.
No, I mean, and Giggy too, like the first time I shot with Giggy was in a Whitey movie, and it would take me a good, you know, 3 or 4 months to film the video part, and Giggy would roll through and it'd be 2 weeks and he'd film a full part, given it wasn't last part because he was also getting a video part in like 5 other movies.
Right, yeah.
Kids are lucky now to get a minute part in one movie, and Giggy could do 5 if he wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
If he didn't have kids and a life and a company and lots of other shit.
Okay, so get to some of these. Oh, we got a lot of comments here. Cool. Let's see. Peter Fellen, what's up with your new company, Apparel? I'm guessing he's talking about Holden.
Holden, yeah. My new company, Holden. Thank you for the question. Not new, though. We've been around since 2002. We make clothing.
Yep.
Snowboard clothes. We started it out because snowboarding clothes were really horrible, and we wanted something fitted and that looked good. So, we've been around since 2002.
Yeah, I think you guys, Holden, to me, when I think of Holden, I think of that first, you know, year or two when you guys came out, and that was still when baggy pants were super popular, and you guys really had a fitted cut, and you guys had, you know, kind of like some cool, like, buckles. Like some weird buckles and stuff, and I mean, what did, you know...
Yeah, that was the perspective. I mean, we wanted, like, things were really baggy and color blocked, so we wanted stuff to basically look like streetwear, but it was technical. Good fit, it moved with you, a lot of nicer fabric, stretch stuff, and we're still continuing that, and then eco too, so we always shipped, like my partner and I are both hippies from the east, and we wanted biodegradable bags, we wanted eco-friendly fabrics, so that's kind of our deal too. So,
and where is, you know, where are you guys kind of based out of
right now? We're out of Venice Beach,
okay,
California.
Cool.
Which doesn't suck.
Okay, let's see. Let's see here.
What do we got here?
Will Karanikas asks, what's the word with Nate Bozong? And you guys need to get him back on a board.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with Nate. I followed him for a while on Instagram, but I stopped because it was a bit depressing, honestly.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, I kind of heard that from some people.
I love him to death, so I don't know.
What do you miss about the older days? This is from Jason Theros, or Theros. What do you miss about the older days of riding, like in the late 90s or early 2000s?
Older days of riding, I think, I don't really miss anything about it. It was just, I mean, if I look back and enjoy what I liked about it, it was just the crew. I mean, I was younger, so we were just snowboarding 150 days a year, and it was just really alive. There was so much. I came from probably a third generation of professionals.
Yeah.
Like the founders and then the new thing, and I was part of this like new school thing in the early 90s, and that was fun because we were like kind of, handrails came back, we were kind of developing this thing, so that kind of like progression is what I miss personally about snowboarding.
Right.
When I was, but as far as like, I don't miss anything about that era or wish it was here now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So kind of on that, because I mean, you've really come from the beginning days of snowboarding, from when it was illegal on the mountains to working your way up to turning pro to getting paid. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the first generations to actually make a solid living off of snowboarding. So Nate Parisini or Parisini, did you ever think that snowboarding would get as insane as it has? You know, with the maybe with the Olympics and, you know, scaffolding and triple corks and everything like that.
Well, yeah, I don't know exactly what he means by insane, but I mean, it's funny because I was just sitting in the front lobby watching footage from the new Transworld movie, or actually it was last year's Origin movie, and they had a really rad section of like 95 to 2015, and like it seems to me, maybe I'm just an old bitter guy, but like that the progression really hasn't gone much further. It has a bit, like a little bit here and there. But it, I don't know. It doesn't seem that insane to me. Like, there's definitely kids doing more flips and blah, 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 and that stuff's gnarly. But I think, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's that much crazier than it was 15 years ago, to be truthful.
Cool. Yeah. Let's see. KC Barrow. Camber, rocker, or hybrid? Or do you prefer your toboggan?
Camber for sure, but if there's a toboggan around, I would happily ride it. Yeah. But camber, I think there's a place for the rocker stuff, but I like camber, I like carving. Some of the blended stuff is really interesting,
mm-hmm.
where it's like a camber under the feet, and like for powder, I do think like a rocker nose is really helpful. And my current setup is like really short tail too, because it's just, I don't do a lot of park stuff, so.
Okay.
But yeah, whatever is applicable to your type of riding. If you're a park rider, I think a little bit of rocker can help, as long as you've got control to hit the jump still with a little camber under the feet. So I don't know, experiment with the specs of the companies that interest you, and they probably have a board that's pretty perfect for you.
All right. If you are just tuning in, this is Eddie's Wall. My name is Eddie Wall. We're here with my guest, Mikey LeBlanc. Hi. We are live. Mm-hmm. And if you guys have any questions for Mikey, please use the comment board and type your questions in, because we are just answering whatever you guys want to talk about. Let's see. Ian Patrick Brennan, liquor or beer?
Beer for sure.
All right. Quick answer
Modelo.
There. Modelo. Let's see. Peter Fallon, do you think snowboarding is falling off? Lots of companies pulled out. Some say it was the peak in 2008. Oh, what's your, you know, what's up with the new hype? And I think this is a good question too, because, you know, last night we were talking and you said, you know, some people now are saying snowboarding is dead. Mm-hmm. I actually think it was like an article somewhere in like the New York Times or something. It was like, oh, snowboarding is dead.
Yeah, I laugh my head off when I see the, I mean, there's no doubt on the business side, it's shrank. I mean, there's just reality. And I think business is harder to do. I own a brand, Holden, we work on it. I know there's less retailers, there's less stores. Some of the largest stores are closing, you know, whatever, like Sports Authority is going away or whatever.
Yeah.
So this comes down to just kind of the way it is. There's less participation. Sure, that's smaller. But when I hear snowboarding's dead, I just laugh my head off. Because all you got to do is go snowboarding and see all the people having a great time.
Yeah.
Maybe there's less money in it. And if someone was like coming to me and say, hey, I want to start a snowboard company, I'd be like, well, you're just know what you're getting into. I'm not going to say don't do it,
because right.
you could probably spend that same amount of time and effort in another industry and do far better.
Right.
So if you're going to come into it, have realistic expectations.
Right.
But the real question about snowboarding being dead, it's not dead as long as one guy is snowboarding and having a good time.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. let's see. Ryan Pasquale Altadonna. Altadonna. Oh, crazy name. North Lake or South Lake Tahoe?
I've not been a Tahoe loke, but I definitely have had fun in both. Snowmobiling, I've had my most fun in both parts of Tahoe.
Yep.
But if I think of it as going to hang out, whatever part Truckee is in, most of my friends live North Lake, around yeah. there. So I hang out there sometimes.
Cool. Alex Booth, good question. Where is John Cooley now?
John Cooley is in Utah.
Okay.
He's a co-owner of a bar. He's designs for an outdoor company called
cool.
L1, and he's a rad dude into motorcycling. I don't see him that often, but occasionally catch up.
All right. Peter Fallon, well, what other hobbies do you have in the off season, like when you're not riding?
I like to shoot photos, camp, work on my brand, play tennis, yoga. I'm really into Zen meditation. I've been doing that for 15 years, so that takes a lot of my time with retreats and stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, you mentioned that, like, again, like I was saying last night. What, touch on that, because that's not usually a common, you know, like, Zen meditation.
Yeah, I just got into it when I was young. My brother brought home a book, and I just found a Zen center, and really it's about meditation. It doesn't matter what style you do.
Yeah.
You could get it in yoga or anything. I just like it because it calms down. It gets you kind of out of a limited perspective. It opens up a lot of perspectives, and I also think it helps my snowboarding for sure.
Yeah. And that's all just about clearing your mind.
Yeah, it clears your mind. I mean, I think the best way to talk about it is I was like snowboarding with Gigi Roof. We're on the top of a pillow line. It's actually the day that he did one of the very first like bonk tree and spin off of it.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, what are you going to do? And I was not coming from the Zen perspective and saying, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go by that tree and turn and slash and drop and la, la, la. And he was, I'm like, what are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to go and see what the mountain tells me. And that's the Zen perspective. Mine wasn't, his was. And that's why Gigi's a better snowboarder than me.
That's crazy. Yeah. The mountain would not tell me what to do.
No.
Not in the way it tells
some Euro shit too, but
it'd be like Eddie, side slip, get caught with some slough, and then be like, oh.
Yeah, totally. It didn't go wrong, so I'm thinking about it. Everything went wrong because my first turn wasn't where I thought.
Right.
And now I'm fucked for the rest of the
way.
His is like, okay, that didn't go how it is, so I'm gonna just make something good out of what's coming next.
Right.
I think the problem with most people's lives is we get ideas and we stop. We stop right there. So we have an idea, we have a plan, it goes wrong, you get stuck, and you're going backwards, constantly thinking about how you fucked up. And Gigi's perspective is, all right, cool, let's just roll.
Right.
Whatever's next, I'm going to do the best with it.
Right.
So that's what I've been training. That's essentially what Zen training is about.
That's perfect. That's awesome. Casey Lawson, would you consider heading back to Maine and creating some sort of a legacy contest or something that could be become a regular event to promote core snowboarding in the states state?
Yeah, I mean, hand dug pipe. If you can build a hand dug pipe, that'd be cool, and with like highways and stuff.
Yeah, like the old school.
A retro event would be really cool. I'd go to Maine for that. I was actually in Sunday River this year. I go back and ride with my dad every year, and we were there in March with my brothers riding for the weekend. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Casey Lawson. Grab a shovel, start digging.
Let's
put those highways in there. Let's see.
Highway to Heaven.
Hectors or Lone Stars?
Oh, man. Hectors all day.
That's Kelly.
Hectors is a.k.a.
Kelly Jorgensen.
Molka Salsa. So this person's asking about the best burrito. Lone Star has a good fish burrito.
Where is this? In Utah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lone Star is down by Snowbird Canyon.
Yeah.
Or Brett, yeah. And then Hectors is right by Milo Sport. Which is the best snowboard shop in Salt Lake. And Hector's has the best carne asada on the planet. So do yourself a favor and go to Hector's. It's epic.
All right, Hector's.
Tell him I sent you.
Theo Muse.
For a 12% discount.
Why is there an axe on the table? Are you two going to fight to the death?
Mm-hmm. Eddie would win.
I think you would win. You just channel that, like, angry, like, shit, I didn't land this trick. let's see.
Yeah. Cool. I like this question. Planning a trip. Chad Langer.
Okay, Chad Langer. Planning a trip this winter. In your opinion, what is the best powder resort in North America?
Well, okay, if you're planning a trip, I would go to Utah. I'd fly into Salt Lake City. You're guaranteed good snow.
Mm-hmm.
If you are independently wealthy and you can go on a very last minute, if you can catch Jackson Hole with like 2 feet of fresh, which is rare,
Yeah. You
don't want to be there the day after 2 feet of fresh for Jackson Hole because it turns into a mogul fest. But if you could be there, then I would say it's my favorite. But for your best bet, if you're going to plan a trip, go to Salt Lake. You got Snowbird, Brighton, you can hike, you can go north to Snow Basin, Powder Mountain, so... And it's cheap. You can stay in the city. It's 30 minutes from the city to the mountain.
Yeah.
And it's pretty legit, so.
Let's see here. What's your take on full video parts turning into Instagram clips? Eddie Spang. And this is kind of a good point because people are actually putting out some of their banger shots on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just there you go.
I don't know. I think it's cool. I mean, just don't fight it. I think I do like the video part, like the wait for it. I think it's fun to watch a whole video, but I'm old. I mean, I'm going to just be the first to tell you that Snapchat, I can't comprehend it. And kids that are in it, I mean, they want it now or whatever. Sometimes it's good to teach them to wait too and like learn to have some patience, but it's the culture's going live, so who knows? I mean, we're live right now on Facebook.
Yeah, right? I mean, can't really.
I can't say either or.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I don't. Whatever the rider wants to do with their footage is cool.
All right. I mean, do you think it has a little bit less of a lasting impression?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said about putting... I've always thought the video part is like a song. I mean, right. It's so important, and it's like it helps you build a feeling, which is get someone stoked to snowboard, rather than the one-second trick thing, which is like, oh, cool, that's gnarly, it makes me want to snowboard. But I always loved watching a video part and then being on the mountain, like singing the song in my head of the Terrier part that was stoking me out. Yeah. But this is pre-cell phone, so I don't know. It's different now. Kids can look at it on their cell phone on a lift and look at that one shot and get stoked. So,
right.
I don't know. I don't really have an opinion.
Cool. Well, everybody, we're about 30 minutes in on this live feed. And Mikey, I mean, do you have anything you want to say to the fans out there?
I mean, I wish we could answer all your questions, but I think we might try.
I think what we're going to do is continue answering some of these questions, maybe talk about a few other things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're going to put this full video out with other topics later this week, so you guys can tune in to twsnow.com, check out the full video. But for now, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Mikey, thank you for coming by. Yeah. And peace out, you guys.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So Andrew Phillips asks, what was your favorite snow trip?
I took a trip to Chile. You know, being a kid, I remember winter time was like the end of the season. It's like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to snowboard for 5-6 months. I wanted to go to summer camp, but I couldn't afford it. And then when I became a pro, I was lucky enough to go early in my career to Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And my crew was this dude, Todd Schlosser, who was one of my heroes. Yeah. Victoria Jalouse, who, if you know who she is, she was like every boy's wet dream, and a couple other people. We don't need to mention him. This dude, Tom Gillis, this other dude. But yeah, that was just magic. We got it really good. And then just traveling around, just going on road trips. Any road trip has been my favorite trip ever, but this was just epic because it was like a couple of my heroes, and we went for like 3 weeks too. So,
do you remember where you went in Chile?
Yeah, Termas de Chillon, but we went to like 5 different spots, Pucón, Termas, but Termas was the best.
Okay.
For sure.
Awesome. Good question, Andrew Phillips. We got Alex Booth, 180 switch nose press or switch backside nose?
Well, I can't really do either one good, so that's kind of how I want to answer it. It depends on who's doing it and on what and how. Like, I'd probably rather watch, you know, X person more than X person do, you know, any trick. There's just, if you do it with style and you ollie onto the rail and you do it like looking good, that, you know, it doesn't matter what the trick is. I'd rather see style than tech.
Okay.
So,
or tech style.
Tech style, even better.
David McGee, do you collect old decks at all or any other collectibles?
My mom and dad have all my pro models that I had, but the only pro model I collected, that I have personally is my first board, actually, my Elite 140, but it was is Scotty Whitlick's first M3 board.
Uh-huh.
And it's when that he did that double rail slide down into the lake, so I have that actual board, and I'm pretty proud of that. But eventually I want to donate that to one of the better collectors, if anybody ever does the museum thing.
Yep.
Because I think that was a pretty cool thing in snowboarding.
Yeah.
And I'm not really a collector.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
I give everything away.
Yeah, I like that. Wow, look at this name. Perluigi?
Must be Italian.
Perluigi Longo. Hi, Eddie. Hi, Mikey.
No, can we make a note on this? Oh. It says, hi, Mickey. Every European says Mickey. You guys got to figure out. There's no C.
Okay. M-I-K-E-Y.
All of them.
Okay, no Mickey.
Without exception. That's cool. Thanks for the question. Perluigi.
Are you still snowboarding like your first day or... are your emotions changed?
So I think he's saying, do I love it?
Right.
Yes. I mean, it's just as fun. I mean, actually, like, I feel like at one point when I first started, it was the blast, and then it becomes a job when you get paid, and now that I'm not getting paid, it's more, sort of more fun. It's kind of like the beginning again in some ways because there's no money involved. There's no pressure to do anything. So you're just doing what you want.
Yeah.
I think my emotions about it haven't changed, but my energy has because I'm a lot older.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you know, one thing that I was thinking about the other day that's kind of along like this question would be the, you know, I also think there's it's hard too, like when you're riding specifically to get like a gnarly shot. Obviously, the riding itself is super scary, or whether you're hitting a rail or a massive jump and you're super scared. But when you get that shot, that feeling is like obviously unbelievable. Yeah. But then it's a little weird too, because then now when you're out riding, it's more fun and more relaxed, but you're also not getting that feeling of like risking your life and that insane. So that's, I think
it's different for every pro, because I know, like, for example, like Chad Otterstrom, he was pro and I was pro, but he can still do every current trick. He goes and learns it for fun.
Right.
I'm going to come right out and say it. Like, the only reason I did a 900 ever was because I was paid to do it.
Right.
I would have just done 360s and 180s forever.
Right.
And had more fun doing that. So I think it just depends on the rider. If you're into progression and like 900s, then that's cool. But honestly, I never did anything over a 720 except for a video part. I wouldn't have done it for fun.
Right.
But other dudes probably think it's a blast. So.
Yeah.
It's just personal.
Yeah. Okay. So Peter Anderson. Now that our generation...
He's a wild cat. He's an old school Canadian dude.
Okay, all right. Sure. Now that our generation is old and broken, how has your approach to preseason training and preparing and mid-season maintenance changed, if at all? Hashtag Wildcats Never Die. In parentheses, what's up, dudes?
What up, Pete? Good to hear from you. I mean... I definitely trained harder when I was a professional athlete. I don't compete. I mean, I'm not, like, in videos. I don't do anything. But I think while I was snowboarding, the one thing that helped was maintenance. Body maintenance was really important. Still important now as I'm retired. So the one thing that's definitely carried forward, I don't hit the gym like I used to, but now it's been yoga throughout. Mm-hmm. So the body maintenance of yoga or some kind of, like, stretching / strength practice.
Yeah.
Was the one thing that carried throughout from then till now. So
cool.
Yeah.
Sam Riley, would you rather be a park only skier or one of those hard boot carver only snowboarders?
Oh man, I think I would do the snowboarder for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, because you just rip down the mountain, you get your face right next to the snow.
Yeah.
And not wear a long t-shirt.
Yep. I fully agree with that. So, I mean, we're kind of wrapping up, but before we end, you know, one question that I had for you was, like, about filming and everything.
Yeah.
And explain what your role was in Videograss, Kids Know, you know, Love Hate, all those projects. Sure. And
yeah, when we started Holden, my friend Whitey retired from making videos.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I wanted to make a video because I wasn't liking any of the other companies. I mean, I had respect for Robot Food and all those, but they were doing their thing. And we thought the model was kind of getting to be like, okay, here's the snowboard movie, and we want to do something different. So I brought in my friends that made skate videos. We made Love Hate. We made Burning Bridges. Technically, they were Holden movies, but we brought in a lot of writers from outside, like Travis Parker, Mark Frank, Daryl Mathis's first part, John Cooley's first part, Justin Hevel, like a bunch of rad people came up. And we just wanted to make like a fun skate kind of party weird video. I remember showing it. We premiered it down here at ASR with some big movie. I think it was TB movie, like TB 7 or 8 or whatever. And I asked Devin Walsh after what you thought of the movie. He was like, I don't know, even know what I just saw. And that for me was a win.
Right.
And I was like, it. And then, you know, even last year, the Tech 9 video guys were like, who I have a lot of respect for, were like, our crew still watches Love Hate every day.
Right.
Which was, that's dope. So we started those. And then I took a few years off because, you know, it's taxing to do two videos. It's really gnarly. And that's why I think a lot of the companies get stuck in a similar looking video every year, is because they feel like they have to. I didn't have to make a movie.
Right.
So it was just these two projects of love and then walk away. Yep. And then re-inspired with Videograss, we wanted to make like a really core skate-inspired snow video. So we started Videograss with the guys from Ashbury and Daryl Mathis and this kid Justin Meyer that currently runs Videograss and helps a bunch of other dudes do rad stuff too. So yeah, Videograss is rad. I love their videos. Since that time, I've all those projects I kind of handed it over to other people.
Yeah.
Because they weren't my passion. They were like, let's get something moving and snowboarding, keep the energy going, start something rad. I think my role in most of those cases was just like getting it going. And we even started a distribution company at one point because all the distributors of the videos were shitty and crooks. And we were just like, let's do something different.
Yeah.
So we brought on all of our friends' videos and I handed that off for free. I didn't want it. I just wanted it to start.
Right.
You know?
Cool.
Keep it alive.
And then you mentioned something kind of funny about how you guys, in those videos, those first videos, that's in the time, early 2000s, everyone was still shooting 16mm, shooting film.
Yeah.
And digital was considered just like horrible. Yeah. You know, maybe a few people maybe were using it in the streets, but not even. Mm-hmm. And you guys started shooting digital quite a lot, right?
Yeah, like I said, for When Love Hate, it was 2003-04, and we were shooting, you know, my dudes were skate guys, so we were shooting skating in the summer with VX2000s and stuff, and we're like, why don't we just make the snowboard movie with digital? And it's like, duh, it's cheap, we don't have a $100,000 budget for fixed 16mm film and cameras, and we don't even know how to load a 16mm camera, so we were out getting money from sponsors that were going to sponsor a project, and it was like funny because friends of mine that ran the film companies competing, Robot Food, MacDog, Standard, all those dudes were like calling the people that were going to give us money, like, don't give those guys money, it's digital, the digital movie. And we're like, dude, digital is the future. And the best part, I remember specifically getting a phone call or an email from Justin Hosnick, who's a homie.
Yeah.
He wasn't beating me up for it, but he was like, dude, how's that digital thing going? I'm like, it's great. And of course, most people the next season's switched over or soon after.
Yeah.
Not that we did it. It was just funny that they were stuck on that for a minute. Like, they felt like they had to be film to be legit.
Right.
And now it's cool to see the film tricking them back in.
Yeah, like I absolutely.
Adidas or someone was just doing some film stuff, which they thought was cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's neat.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else you want
to... I'm good.
Shout out to
appreciate,
the fans.
Yeah, or? I mean, shout outs for sure. Thanks to all my, you know, for all of you for writing in and everybody that supported me through snowboarding and all my friends and family.
If you need some outerwear, check out Holden.
Yeah, check out Holden, outerwear.com.
All right. Cool. Thank you, Mikey.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Later, guys.